For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson with another readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, to which you should subscribe, and on which we did get a bit behind due, among other things, to my trip to the wilds of Baku and also to Gobistan to chase down the volcano mud and things of that sort. At any rate, that's my story about why we're behind, and I'm sticking to it. As I'm sticking to thanking people for helping to make their city prominent on our list of most by views, and this week, it's the friendly folks in New York City, yes, the friendly folks in New York City, who made the Big Apple number 18 on our list. And then, in the newsletter on which this readout is based, we just bid farewell to everybody because apparently the world ended due to the election of Donald Trump as President of the United States. In addition to various other apocalypses shortly to apocalypse, The Guardian wailed, quote, Trump has pledged to wage war on planet Earth, and it will take a progressive revolution to stop him, end quote. Oh, you mean like the progressive revolution that went on for over 50 years and disgusted people so much that they voted for Donald Trump? So we suppose war on planet Earth it is. And indeed, scientific communism shrieks, quote, a second Trump term will be devastating for curbing climate change. He has vowed to promote fossil fuels, weaken pollution regulations, and reverse Biden administration climate efforts, end quote. Devastating. Boo, Trump. Yay, good old Joe. Mind you, just in case the world doesn't end again, we at CDN plan to carry on, including reporting on why we weren't surprised that the climate crisis thingy didn't bring voters out to stop Trump. And the reason is, as Roger Pilkey Jr. put it, quote, there is no such thing as a climate voter, end quote. Or, if there is, it's a normal person fed up with the progressive revolution, including a climate, and also with the parties that believe in perpetual revolution. Most Americans don't believe there's a climate crisis because of all the supposedly worsening weather that sealed the deal for Kamala Harris. And the reason is that weather is far more visible in the pages of the New York Times than it is outside their windows. Now, because Trump got elected, the American government might throw less money at anyone claiming to have magic beans that can fix the weather, but the alarmists will keep on whining, will keep on rebutting their unreasonable claims, and life will go on. Now, speaking of rebutting unreasonable claims, Canada's Legion magazine, which we hasten to add for non-Canadians, is addressed not to devils, but to members of the Royal Canadian Legion, which is dedicated to our veterans. Legion magazine announces with excitement that, quote, archaeologists using laser technology have discovered a 2,000-year-old Roman military camp high in the Swiss Alps, uncovering a treasure trove of fortifications and artifacts, including arrowheads, slingshots, and lead sling bullets, bearing the stamp of the Roman Third Legion, end quote. See, history's pretty cool, huh? Especially as, quote, the site was found 2,200 meters up in the Colmar-Ranga corridor of Switzerland's Oberhalbstein Alps near the Italian border, end quote. That's an area that's currently frozen over, according to Google Maps. But back in Augustus' day, when the emperor finally decided to clear out the rowdies once and for all, it dominated key trade routes, not key ski slopes. In the newsletter, we also bring breaking news on the Canadian government's drive to plant 2 billion trees in a country that already has 150 times that many in order to change the weather worldwide. Quote, funding of $295,000 under the 2 billion trees, 2BT program, for the Memorial University Botanical Garden to establish a tree nursery on its expansive botanical garden, which will support tree planting in the region, end quote. So, stand by for the temperature to plummet wherever you are. Or not, because it invites the question, how's that 2BT program going? Gosh, glad you asked. Quote, as of June 2024, the government has signed, or was negotiating, tree planting agreements with 11 of 13 provinces and territories, 40 indigenous partners, 32 municipalities, 86 non-governmental organizations, and a partridge in a pear tree, representing a commitment to plant 716 million trees, nearly tripling last year's total, end quote. Not of trees, you understand, of commitments to plant trees. And then, grading their own work, they gave themselves an A for agreements that, quote, have greatly exceeded expectations, end quote. Yeah, except on the pesky point of planting trees, but who's counting those rubbishy things? Meanwhile, continuing its efforts to ditch its reputation as a magazine devoted to science, when Trump won the election, Scientific American's editor-in-chief went on social media to apologize to young people for her generation being so full of, quote, expletive-deleted fascists, end quote, and, well, we can't say the rest. She then faked being sorry, saying, quote, these posts, which I have deleted, do not reflect my beliefs, end quote. So she didn't say whose beliefs they did reflect or what exactly happened there. But she did say, contrary to the evidence, quote, I am committed to civil communication and editorial objectivity, end quote. Except while at the keyboard. And then subsequently she did resign to go birdwatching or something of that sort. Ah, and the newsletter, we bring you more from the random weather file. It seems that October 30th was Ottawa's 208th consecutive day with a high above 6 degrees Celsius, which basically indicates that it happens a lot here. Nevertheless, it only made 10th place on the all-time list, but, we were told, it was the longest run in more than 20 years, meaning it's an outlier, not part of a trend, right? What's more, since Ottawa Weather Records, which produces a lot of these interesting statistics, also helpfully always shows whatever years ranked higher than any given trend or lack of trend, there were longer runs in, this is in ascending order, 1927, 1915, 1982, 1945, 1998, 1968, 1991, 1994, and in first place, 1938. So once again, the only people who could possibly take it as proof of a warming planet are the kind of people who take anything as proof of a warming planet, including a snowstorm. Then, from the Why is Green the New Red file, we know press releases from Canada's Green Party over just 2 days that accused the head of the Conservative Party of being a security risk, demanded that it be made illegal to point out that no bodies of Indigenous children, or indeed anybody else, have been found in the supposed unmarked graves at the former residential schools, and deplored the fact that, quote, conflicts continue to spread in countries like Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Palestine, Lebanon, and Iran, end quote, but not in, whatchamacallit, that place where terrorists keep trying to kill Jews. As for the environment, well, the Green Party may get to it after the revolution. On another perennial subject, and that's climate grift, we at CBN continue to exist that alarmism is not a scam. There may be some grifters, but you can only latch onto something if a lot of sincere people are engaged in it and believe in it already. And on that point, we do realize that if some government will hurl money at you for something that you wanted to do anyway, provided you say the word climate, the odds are quite high that you're going to say it, right? For instance, Pratt and Whitney said it, and voila, they snagged a sack of cash containing $11.3 million of our tax money from our Minister of Innovation, Science and Industry, which, yes, is a preposterous portfolio, via the Strategic Innovation Fund, which, yes, is a preposterous organization. And it got the money to subsidize $34.9 million in research and development, quote, targeted at maturing next-generation thermal engine technologies, end quote. Which, wait for it here, folks, quote, will help the sector move toward its net zero carbon emissions objective, end quote. Or toward the bank, anyway. Oh, and further to the subject of Donald Trump, the walking, talking orange apocalypse, Reuters Sustainable Switch emailed that, quote, the Republican win is unlikely to dramatically slow the U.S. renewable energy boom, end quote. And on that point, we do agree because there's no such boom. Euronews Green, showing the usual independence of mind of the herd of same, said, quote, Trump's victory could be a major blow for global climate action, but experts say it may not slow the role of the green transition again. Experts again. May. And you know, if you're getting your information from people who believe in that kind of stuff, you may well be deceived about a great many things. And speaking of being deceived, a crucial lesson of history is that ideas have consequences. And yet another related one, surprisingly often resisted with harmful results, is that people believe their beliefs. So it is that Canada's government, entirely committed to the notion that humans are setting the sky on fire and they must rush about by jet airplane denouncing carbon and then shut down the energy industry on which Canadians rely, just took a dramatic step to shut down the energy industry on which Canadians rely. Not content with a carbon tax that they insist is brilliantly solving the problem anyway and making nearly everyone richer into the bargain, and also trying to force us all into EVs that we don't want, they're now imposing an emissions cap on the oil and gas sector. They're meant to emit 27% below imaginary 2026 levels and 35% below actual 2019 levels by, and I quote, the first compliance period, 2030 to 32, end quote, whatever that means. And, of course, this goal can't possibly be met except by drastically reducing output and thus use of vital energy. And also, what are those things again? Ah, yes, the taxes that government relies on to fund its lifestyle and subsidize ours that are paid by Canada's enormous hydrocarbon energy industry. And in that industry, many firms seem somehow to have deceived themselves into thinking that the government wouldn't do such things, or if it did them, it could be talked out of them again. But they were warned and then clobbered, not by scammers or hoaxers, but by true believers who announced their plans and then, stunning nearly everyone, carried them out. Now, just because people believe their beliefs does not, of course, mean that their beliefs are sensible. Thus, according to some professor of real estate and finance in Pennsylvania, writing in the New York Times, quote, climate change should make you rethink home ownership, end quote. See, apparently if a house is both on fire and underwater, it's not a good investment or something along those lines. I mean, sure, he says, owning your own home is, quote, core to the American dream, end quote, but who needs that old thing? Now, mind you, being so simple-minded that we still read Henry Hazlitt and even Frédéric Bastiat, we at CN do have to ask the learned professor a couple of questions. One of them being, do you own a house? And the other one being, if owning a house is now the act of a chump, from whom exactly are your enlightened readers going to rent one? In the newsletter, we also continue our cheerful chart series. It got all the way to 15, Oil Saved the Whales. And in this series, we've shown many indicators of wonderful improvements in modern life for which we credit fossil fuels indirectly because of their contribution to prosperity, also known as the quantity and quality of things that we now enjoy. But in this case, the credit is direct and undeniable. See, whales have been hunted by human beings for a long time, but in the 19th century, Americans began using whale oil in vast quantities for lighting, and the whaling fleet and its effectiveness expanded dramatically as the Industrial Revolution proceeded, with harvest rates soaring, also known as dead whales. In fact, the resulting carnage would likely have seen whales go up the spout completely everywhere, except for a technological miracle in the mid-19th century, the invention of the refining of fossil fuels. From that point on, there were better and cheaper substitutes for whale oil, and as shown at Our World in Data, the whale oil business shrank dramatically as Standard Oil and other supposed villains of the story replaced whale oil with far cheaper and better fuels. Now, unfortunately, whaling took off again in the 20th century because new industrial applications were found for whale oil, whale blubber, and whale bone. By the 1960s, about 700,000 whales per decade were being hunted, and in some countries, appeals to environmental sensibility fell on remarkably deaf ears. But on top of public pressure and declining returns as the whales were slaughtered, our ingenious fossil fuel companies developed more and better substitutes for these new products for which whales were still being harvested. So, fossil fuels saved the whales twice. Unfortunately, in that piece, we also note less cheerfully that climate zealots' enthusiasm for offshore wind development along the U.S. Northeast coast in particular is creating new and deadly hazards for whales. If only these magnificent creatures still mattered to the green movement. Now, speaking of extinction, in the newsletter we also mentioned the incredible vanishing polar bears. Vanishing from the headlines, that is. Probably because in the real world they're doing just fine, which evidently came as a shock to the BBC journalist who, in writing a story about a polar bear attack in Nunavut, added in the obligatory fluff about the species being in decline due to global warming. And this unfact-checked propaganda prompted UK writer Paul Homewood to file a complaint, which was recently upheld. And now a new study, have to appear to no trick zone, proposes a statistical model for predicting the population of polar bears in the many regions where the populations aren't actually observed and so hard numbers are unavailable. And when they ran their models, the result was stable overall and not in decline. Bears don't end, alarmists hardest hit. Unlike pesto, one of the great culinary achievements of the human race. You see, it requires large amounts of sweet basil or Ocumum basilicum L, And yet again, as the CO2science.org archive shows, more CO2 means more basil, so the future pesto is looking very green. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, hollering that the end is not nigh.